So, what comes to your mind when you hear the word Advent? When I was a child and December rolled around, I didn't know anything about Advent. Instead, my sisters and I cut strips of red and green construction paper and glued them into a chain with one link for each day from December 1st until Christmas. We then took turns tearing one circle off each day, growing more excited as the chain grew shorter. That activity was about anticipation, awaiting a visit from Santa and presents to open. But it wasn't about Advent, also a time of anticipation. My grandchildren grew up knowing nothing about Advent either. They did, however, have their own Christmas countdown, which meant opening the little door on their paper Advent calendars each day to see the tiny picture that was behind it. Sometimes a more secular thing, like a Christmas tree or a gingerbread man, but sometimes an angel or an animal from a manger scene. My three children, however, were taught about Advent. When I married their father, who was a Roman Catholic, I agreed to raise our children in the Catholic faith. For the 4 weeks preceding Christmas, we lit candles on our Advent wreath daily and read aloud the designated scripture reading for the day. We taught them that Advent was a name that came from the Latin Adventus, meaning coming or arrival. We were awaiting the birth of baby Jesus and trying to make Christmas about more than just presents under the tree. Lighting candles during Advent is a practice that is centuries old. The first clear reference to Advent in the Western Church occurred in the 8th century. The Catholics began it, and the later Protestant denominations fine-tuned it to fit their beliefs, which weren't all that different. An Advent wreath is adorned with three purple candles and one pink candle. Some add a fifth candle, which is white, to the middle of the wreath to be lit on Christmas Eve or Christmas Day. Some Protestant churches use blue instead of purple for Advent, because purple is more fitting for the somber Lenten season preceding Easter. The season of Advent in the Christian tradition anticipates the coming of Christ from three different perspectives: the physical nativity in Bethlehem, the reception of Christ in the heart of the believer, and a second coming in the final judgment. Although the roots of Unitarian Universalism are Christian, many Christian beliefs about Jesus have not been carried over into our modern UU traditions or covenant. And that's okay. So why are we, a bunch of Unitarian Universalists, talking about Advent today? UUs don't celebrate Advent, or do we? Or maybe the question is, should we? How can we find out one way or the other? One clue is that our hymn book contains three Advent hymns, and we're singing them all today. Another way is, of course, to search the internet. I Googled the Unitarian Universalist Association's website, and surprise, I found quite a few references to Advent. The UUA suggests that we might light four candles in recognition of four things to anticipate: hope, love, joy, and peace, as I mentioned to the young people. While these same words are the main focus for Christian denominations during Advent, they are also words that resonate with UUs, so let's unpack them. What do they mean for us? And let's light candles in recognition of our desire to fully experience hope, love, joy, and peace during this time. Traditionally, Advent candles were lit during each of the 4 weeks leading up to Christmas, but we will light all of ours today. And I also want to acknowledge the work of Elizabeth Barish Brown, the writer of the words we will say as we light each of the candles. The first candle we will light signifies hope. The word hope is a two-sided coin, that involves both a wish for a positive result and a belief that it is possible. In her book, The Book of Hope, A Survival Guide for Trying Times, Jane Goodall, the revered primatologist, conservationist, and activist, states that hope is stronger than optimism. Rather than being an emotion or a skill, she says that hope is a survival trait, without which we would perish. She names four main reasons to have hope. First, the amazing human intellect can find new ways to solve problems. Second, the indomitable human spirit of people facing physical problems inspires us to be courageous. Third, young people bring enthusiasm and energy to a tired world. And fourth, the resilience of nature can repair environments after natural disasters. These reasons place the word hope squarely in the realm of action verbs. Hope is also a motivator because it moves us to accomplish good things. So let us light a purple candle representing the hope that motivates us. And our first candle lighter is Doug Hallberg. We light a candle of hope with these words. Blessed Creator, who moves in the dark, teach us to hope. Help us be ready to appreciate the spark of light that comes to illumine hearts. And show us the way toward love and peace. Help us to find breath to call out injustice, to speak words of love to those in need, to whisper in the wind that there is good in this world and enough to share. The second candle we will light signifies peace. Peace is not just the absence of conflict. Peace includes both external harmony and internal tranquility. It is sought in large ways when the world suffers from discord in human relationships. And it is sought on a smaller scale as freedom from personal anxiety about the events of our lives. Reverend Martin Luther King Jr. said that peace is not merely a distant goal that we seek, but a means by which we arrive at that goal. When we bring personal serenity to bear on a difficult interpersonal relationship, we can open our hearts to someone and invite peace from them in return. We don't have to give up ground, but peace stands less of a chance in the midst of turmoil. Let us light a purple candle representing the peace that comes back to us when we practice it and offer it to others. Our second candle lighter is Betty Timmerman. We light a candle of peace with these words. Maker of the universe, whose being is in all things, both in the day and the night, eternal, teach us to seek peace. Help us to find that which brings calm to our breath and compassion to our hearts, and show the way toward a loving and peaceful world. Help us to light the way toward justice, to be a candle in the window, a star in the night sky, a way to find the path that leads us in the ways of peace. The third candle we will light signifies joy. We've all felt happiness when something wonderful happens to us or someone we care about, something that is long desired or out of the ordinary. Joy, though, is more profound and lasting than happiness. Spiritual teacher Eckhart Tolle once said that pleasure is always derived from something outside you, whereas joy arises from within. I suggest that joy is also something we can choose for ourselves every day by looking for it, recognizing it, and embracing it. One way is to practice gratitude, which is an obvious conduit for joy. So let us light the pink joy candle, representing the joy that comes when we recognize and choose joy. Candle 3 is Dianne Kiernan. We light the candle of joy with these words. Beautiful Mother of Creation, you who imbue every facet of this universe with the spark of all being, teach us to find joy. Help us open our hearts wide enough to let the wonder of miracles and the anguish of suffering, the blessings of compassion, and the beauty of truth inside. Help us to know that our hearts and our fists are the same size, that the work of our hands must always be guided by the love of our hearts, not only to speak truth in the halls of power, but to sing out for the joy of change and of justice. The last candle we will light signifies love. Love is not just a warm feeling that we have about our families, our friends, and our pets. Love has 20 and more synonyms that describe varying degrees of love. We can love our children, and we can love our new shoes. Ancient Greeks used a different word for the highest form of love. The word is agape, a profound love that transcends and endures regardless of circumstances. In Unitarian Universalism, the Six Sources language describes shared values centered around love. We belong to an interdependent web of existence and share sacredness with all other people, especially those for whom we seek justice. We are called to cultivate gratitude and hope and adapt in loving ways to a changing world. We will light the final purple candle representing the love that we give freely and the love that we find challenging to give. And the candle will be lit by Damian Redman. We light a candle of love with these words. Spirit of love and life, that which loves through all beings, entwining together the whole and holy universe, teach us to give love. Help us bring our full hearts to community, to find and to give love immeasurable with a generous spirit and a joyous heart. Help us be ever blessed with the knowledge that all matter is connected, that we are part of the whole. Teach us to know that we are never alone, for the whole of creation moves in and through us in every moment of our lives. So may we return this immense love in the compassion, generosity, and justice that we offer to the world. I want to thank our candle lighters who performed that task on behalf of all of us gathered here. And I would like to end with the words taken from the reading that Barbara read earlier, just before the reflection. And they are these. Advent challenges us not just to wait, but to wait actively, to do the work of preparing hearts and till the soil that awaits seeds of hope and love. Advent encourages us to be present in each moment of waiting. When we are, we join our lives and our breath and our hearts with those who are waiting, waiting for justice, waiting for peace, waiting for a world reborn. May it be so. Amen.